That through the written word and the spoken word, when we know the living word. Amen. Please be seated. Notice that story said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher anymore? Does anyone feel ever like that? That there is no hope, that things are so bad that there's nothing to do. It's dead. Forget about it. I kind of tend to go that way. You ask Hugh, he's the one who prodded me to be a little bit more optimistic. I tend to be more on the kind of more pessimistic side and kind of easily kind of tend to kind of catastrophize? Yeah. Catastrophize. I don't know if any here feels it sometimes like that. But today the gospel talks about that. These group of men who said there's nothing to do. She's dead. Forget about it. Don't bother the teacher. Last week, several of you heard my sermon, and I was preaching that sometimes we just have to let go. Remember the story, those of you who were here last week, we talked about this young friend of mine who's from Vietnam and about him being on a boat, escaping Vietnam, trying to come to this country. And he just opened his arms and saw this wave. He was certain he was going to die. And sometimes in life, the problems are so big that there's really nothing to do. We just open our arms and say, I'm in God's hands. But not always that is a good solution. Sometimes you can just say, there's nothing for me to do. And that was last Sunday's gospel. Today's gospel, I want to go to the other side. We have to do something. We cannot cross our hands. We cannot open our arms and say, God, do something. There's not thoughts and prayers. We need action. So today, I want to take that gospel in that sense. Jesus telling the disciples, no, it is not enough just to say, she's dead, forget about it. We need to do something. Various church elders in our nation, amongst them our Bishop Curry, are very concerned about things that are going on in our country. And especially, I know that for many of you, people have called me, is the whole thing about immigration. In the gospel and in AA meetings, one of the most beautiful prayers, most of you know it, right? It's the Serenity Prayer. And in that prayer, we say, we know it, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. That was last week's gospel. Courage to change the things I can, today's gospel. And wisdom to know the difference. And that is the key, discernment. Sometimes there's nothing to do. And other times, we better buckle our belts and do something. Today in the gospel, we hear these men saying, forget about it. There's nothing to do. Overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, do not fear, only believe. Later on, when he had entered the house, Jesus said to them, why do you make such a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And what did they react? They laughed at Jesus. And what Jesus did? They put him outside. He says, shut up. You're getting in the way. Jesus takes them out of the house. All the squabbling men and women who were crying, who were just hopeless, and says, get out of here. You're getting in the way. Brings in mom and dad, his disciples, and tells the little girl, Talita kum, little girl, get up. For all the things that are happening in our lives, can be health issues, family relationships, issues at our work, our school, our nation. Today, I feel the invitation is we need to do something. Today, our loose offering, the plate offering that we will be doing shortly, will be destined for a program called KINDS, Kids in Need of Defense. Many of you have been really, really upset about what is happening in our country. The children are being separated from their families and are alone. For many, it's an issue about politics. It's nothing about it. It's how we react as people of faith. We can all have our political views, but at the end, our faith is that instructs us as Christians. It is not because we follow this party or that party, But we are followers of Jesus the Christ. The one that on the second reading today, if you notice, the second reading of Corinthians said, "For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich." It is because we have a faith in a Christ that we believe being rich, being the child of God, comes to this world and becomes a poor. That has a consequence in our lives. If what we read here doesn't have any consequence outside in our world, this is meaningless. This is a beautiful text, and we should lock this church up, because it has no consequences in our lives. If we truly believe that this man that we follow, the Son of God, who was rich and became poor for us, that has consequences in how we live. If we have, we need to share with others. Paul, in this same, it's about, this is that one I read is verse 9, verse 13. So how many are those? Four more verses. Down this reading, we didn't have it today. And it's true, what Joyce was telling, it's kind of chopped up. But this is what it says later on. Paul was trying to make a collection, like we're going to do, for the people, the poor in Jerusalem. And this is what he wrote, encouraging them. Not from politics, but from faith. He said, "It isn't that we want others to have financial ease and you financial difficulties, but it is a matter of equality. At the present moment, your surplus can fill their deficit, so that in the future, their surplus can fill your deficit. In this way, there is equality, as it is written. The one who gathered more didn't have too much, and the one who gathered less didn't have too little." That is from the Exodus. So we care for each other because our faith demands this, and especially to care for the poor and the oppressed, and today, especially for the children who are alone. And for me, it has a very personal meaning. I've shared this story with some of you, but I wanted to share with all the congregation. I cannot imagine what the children who are alone might be feeling. When I was 5 years old, my dad was drafted in the military as a major in the U.S. Army. As a physician, he was sent as director to a hospital, a little hospital in Germany, a town called Hohenfels. And we lived there in Germany for 3 years, his duty serving this nation as a Puerto Rican. But me, as a little boy, I had no idea what this was. I remember my mom telling me, I was 4 and a half, she told me, "We're going to Germany, and over there, because it was a base, you have to learn English." And I'm like, "English?" I remember going to the mirror and trying to practice, wondering, what in the world is English? And I would look at myself in the mirror, and I imagine my little head, well, English must be like Spanish, but cut in half. That's the mind of a five-year-old. So I was just wondering, okay, so let me practice. And I would say aloud into the mirror a Spanish phrase and trying to chop all the words in half, because I thought, maybe that's English. As a little kid, I was terrified. And I recognize now that I had a lot of anxiety. I'm going to a place that they speak something else that I have no clue, and I don't know how to do that. When I arrived there, not knowing Spanish, what I received was all the kids, knowing that I didn't speak English, with my little brother. Every time we left the house, we were pelted with rocks because we were strange. Even the mom, I remember the mom of one of the kids who came to me, I mean, this little five-year-old telling me, "You go back where you live. You're not playing with my kids, you dirty Puerto Rican." As a little five-year-old, I was just like, what in the world is this? I felt the hatred, the racism, and the little five-year-old had no clue what was going on. I was terrified. I cannot imagine what these kids are experiencing, being in detention, being in a prison, in a cage, in a whatever, where they are being held without their parents. When I was there in Germany, a couple of months after we arrived, I was trying desperately to learn English. And many of you know that I speak, they tell me, you speak very good English. Well, when you have rocks being thrown at you, you better learn it quickly. And that's why I learned English well, sort of well. I still get trouble with some words. But a couple of months after, I experienced what it was to be separated from your family. It was not that they were taken away, but rather my dad being the doctor of the place, my sister had an hernia, and she had to be flown out. My dad didn't want to do the surgery on her own. My sister was 10 or 11 months old, so they had to fly her out. My brother and I were in the theater in the base, and we're coming back to our house, which was up, and that was another problem because my dad was the major. So my dad was one of the officers, and we lived up where the officers' buildings were. So for the rest of the list, how can this Puerto Rican, who doesn't speak English, how in the world can be an officer? I mean, it was really complicated. So when I come back, the house is locked. The neighbor, who is the pastor, his wife was there to tell me and my brother, in my broken English, I sort of understood that mom and dad were gone. And I sort of understood that they were in a helicopter. So I'm running, because I knew where the helicopter place is, because where my dad is at the hospital. I start running, grabbing my brother, running down this hill, trying to get to the helicopter. And I saw the helicopter flying away. And I'm left alone. I'm responsible for my little brother. And that was the most terrifying thing. That somehow I was 5 years old, and now I was responsible for my little brother, who I had dragged down the hill, and he was just crying, had no idea what was going on. I've talked with him, he said, I don't remember any of that. So I was just dragging him down the hill. So this whole thing about the immigrants, it's not about politics. For me, it's a living thing. And when we look at what is happening in our country, beyond the politics, it's our human decency. It is our response to God's word. It is, we truly believe that this man who was rich became poor for our sake. There are consequences in how we live, how we relate to each other, what we do for each other, how we help each other, especially if we are privileged and live in the richest country in the planet. How can we live the gospel of Jesus Christ? Let us pray. O companion in life and in death, your love is steadfast and never ends. Our weeping may linger with night, but you give joy in the morning. Touch us with your healing grace, that we restore to wholeness ourselves, our nation, and our world. We may live out our calling as your resurrection people. Amen.